Good morning. This morning is a little different morning. It's a new day. This weekend has been probably one of the most significant changes in my understanding in a long, long time. This weekend we've been introduced to very practical things to begin to move with God. Things have been presented to us that in such a way that it makes it not only obtainable, but practical. Number one, we want to talk about it a little bit. We'll build some faith for it a little bit, and we'll exercise it a little bit. So I'm stepping way out here on the end of the pier, and I've just stepped off the pier because I did make some notes in my notebook, but I didn't make up any of my teaching notes or anything like that because it's not that time. It's not a day for revelation. It's not a day for teaching, but it is a day for training. Because see, that's what God wants us to do, is to realize that the things that we experience here in church are not just for the purpose of making us feel good. It's for the purpose of us stepping out to reach out. Stepping out to do something and manifest God in such a way that somebody's life is impacted. And when we can begin to manifest God in such a way that somebody's life is impacted, now we're truly bringing the kingdom of God to them. You guys know this. We've talked about it. But now we have some practical things to begin to apply to it. Some things that we can begin to do and to unfold so that they can happen. There are certain things, there are certain manifestations and whatnot that when people do them, to me it's always been just a turnoff. For example, a whole group of people just laughing hysterically really had no purpose. And if that's the end goal, it really doesn't have a tremendous purpose. It can have some freedom for those individuals if they've never experienced that. But if you just do it day after day, week after week, there's no purpose. But when you begin to use it as a stepping stone that loosens people up to get them to step into the next place, and that stepping stone becomes a place to where they're able and open to receive a word of prophecy. Now we've accomplished something. That moment of laughter and joy and things that were released now becomes the thing that leads us into a moment of prophecy. And when that moment of prophecy comes forth, that moment of prophecy now has the power to release something in somebody's life that's been keeping them bound for a long time. If you take that, then that one releases you into the next room, and the whole purpose is to bring you into the place where there's an understanding or a reception of the glory of God. And a beginning to have an awakening to an actual encounter with who He is. So those are the steps that what we're looking at, what I've been thinking about and what Brent was teaching all this week, or this weekend. What I really was fascinated about was the fact it was so not hyped. See, the things of God don't have to be hyped. When God shows up, everybody knows it. Things may look a little helter-skelter out of the norm, but you understand it's the power of God in operation. Nobody has to say anything about that. The shift in my understanding was this. A move of God is just not totally a sovereign act of God. It's not a sovereign act. Is His sovereignty involved in it? Yes. However, there are things that we can do to co-labor with Him. There are things that we can do to come into concert with the movement of the Holy Spirit that begins to position us for that to be the expected result. When we begin to position ourselves correctly, there's a legitimate end to it. I always thought that it was something that just happened. And because the things that I had seen demonstrated from the mind's eye seemed to just happen. But that's not actually the truth of how it goes. Take, for instance, when you're hearing God. This was a great explanation. But when you're hearing God, the effect that you get when you receive what somebody has heard from God is very much like a conversation may have occurred. But the actual hearing of God is things that happen in a moment being collected together. I'll explain what he calls a flash of inspiration, a flash of a picture, a flash of a thought. In that flash, you have a flash of a thought. I had a time period where every morning I would get up and the Lord would speak to me and this lasted for a year and a half, where I would just write down the things that he was speaking to me. Very incredible time. Because see, as I was jotting down and writing down the things he would speak to me, what I would find out later in that same day is that some of the things I was writing down and jotting down would describe a situation or would describe a circumstance, and it would describe an answer. Well, I would meet somebody in counseling and they'd start talking about their situation. I'd go, wait a second. And I'd open my notebook and I'd read out of the notebook both their situation and their answer. And it was things that I had no obvious previous idea of what it would be like. What I realize now is that was supposed to be practice. But it wasn't like there was a conversation where he just gave me a continuous stream of information. What I got would I would get a thought or a half of a sentence at a time. I would have to just be obedient. I would write the first 5 words of the sentence, then I would wait for the next 5 words or whatever happened. And then I would write the rest of it. Then I would realize, okay, that's a sentence. Put a period there. Then he would go on to something else and he'd begin to speak about something else. And the object was just simply to scribe out what he had said. Because as I began to scribe out what he had said, I didn't even have a conscious recollection of it until I went back to read it, did it see that it made sense. The point of this exercise was it was allowing me to begin to actually perceive God in a brand new way. Because see, in that time, I've told you that before, he began to speak a whole lot to me and about me. But he also, in that moment, began to release to me an understanding of how to communicate with him. And I've incorrectly conveyed that as a conversation, but it's really not a conversation. It's really just a collection of momentary thoughts, momentary images that he was giving me that I was transcribing on paper. But I wouldn't even get, as I said, even a whole sentence a lot of times. And it's kind of awkward to write a sentence and you don't know what the end of it's going to be. But the reality is when I'm standing here talking to you, I'm using that same mechanism that I learned there. Because right now as I speak this, I really don't know what the end of the sentence is going to be. Oftentimes, there are things that come out of my mouth. I have no preconceived idea that it's going to come. I'm hearing it and speaking it just as it occurs. So all this brings us to a point. Number one, the little flash thoughts, as Brent calls them, are things that we can begin to capture to move with the Spirit of God. As we capture those flash thoughts, we have to understand that right then as he's giving it to you is the greatest time to begin to meditate on that thought. Because as we begin to meditate on that thought, we can really understand its purpose and its life. As I touched you, as I hugged you this morning, I had a flash thought, I'm hurting. And I want to trust, but I'm not quite sure. The Lord says, I'm building the place of trust. Because the hurts of the past are just that, the past. and they no longer have to define the relationships of tomorrow and today. See, it's a flash thought. Whatever begins to happen in your mind, then you begin to capture it and ask Him, what is it that you want to do with the flash thought? Because see, there are some things as we understand that and we can begin to look and ask the Lord, what is the purpose for this? What do you want me to do with this? How do I cooperate with you and bring this into a concert of a movement of God? See, all the movement of God is a concert with the Holy Ghost. As strange as it may seem, when Daniel was being carried around and praying for people and releasing the power of God, even though he was pretty much just almost comatose, there was a concert of the Holy Ghost being released. The power of God was being released. Why through Daniel? Well, because Daniel was where the power was at that moment, and it was something that he was obviously not consciously doing. He was just being a vessel and a conduit. God was using him because he wanted to prove, in that case, his sovereignty, because he can do it through any of us. He can do it. And it wasn't about Brent. It wasn't about LaRue. It wasn't about Chuck. It was about what God wanted to do in the moment to touch people. How God wanted to bring his presence and bring an appreciation of the very virtue that is in him to be released to these people. It's not about us. When we begin to understand that the movement of God is always about someone else, now then we can step into that plan and purpose of His. We can step into the faith because, see, now we're operating in that grace that comes when we desire to do that which God wants to do. One of the disadvantages of saying the things just as you say it, you don't always go, what was that word? So the concert of God is what's being released in those moments as we hear and we obey what we hear. The obedience to what we hear is a purposeful thing that we have to engage. The obedience to what we hear is something that's called risk. How many people love a testimony? Come on, everybody here better raise their hand. You love a testimony. Okay. How many people want the test that comes with the money? Huh? And nobody wants a test. Would you realize there's a better way to get a testimony? It's called risk. It's called risk. It's called stepping out. Because see, if you'll step out, if you'll go somewhere, isn't there something that happens that you couldn't possibly have imagined? Is there something that happens that begins to empower you to accomplish what God wants? Things that are above and beyond our own ability. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. When something happens outside of the realm, you know, I think it was Thursday night, and Brent brought me up here to pray, and it was for you, Mike. You know, the deal was, basically, we were supposed to move with the Spirit of God and move in the timing of God to release the power of God in that moment. Well, what Brent didn't know, but I did know, and he knew, was that he's only been slain in the Spirit twice in his whole life. And so I'm standing here going, okay, God, I know he's only been slain twice in his whole life. This is going to be a real neat little thing. And I had to shift myself. See, that's one of the things that we do. Shift myself out of the natural. This is what I knew in the natural. I had to shift myself into the Spirit. And as I shifted myself into the Spirit, then I began to have, it didn't matter to me anymore whether he had ever been slain in the Spirit before or not. In that momentary second. Because I realized there's nothing I can do in the natural to affect this. I can't push on him enough to make anybody believe that he actually fell down. But you step into the Spirit, and then all of a sudden, just bam! I actually saw, when I moved and went forward, I actually saw like an explosion in the Spirit. I don't know what you felt, but that's what I saw. That's exactly what I saw, was an explosion right there. It was almost just like a white light. So, in that moment, see, there was something that happened, that God was moving from the atmosphere, and it moved to Mike. But it happened simply by faith. So the part of it is take a risk. Become purposeful about your faith. Because see, it's not just for containing within here. If that's the only time that ever happens in our life, then we miss the point because that's just an isolation. It's got to be something that we begin to take out. When we begin to meet somebody at Walmart, when we begin to look at the gas station, when we begin to look as we're walking through our business and somebody walks in, those are the opportunities that God is putting in front of us. When you go to a restaurant and somebody comes up and says, guy, the other day he mentioned, I have an allergy. So to me, that was an automatic signal because I had an allergy to almonds. And I just said, Lord, I don't want to be allergic to almonds. I like almonds. I don't want to be allergic to it. So I began to pray and I began to ask him to just heal that. And so basically when this guy came up, I just said, let me pray for you, brother. And he did one of those, yeah, sure, good, okay. Then I said, no, right now. And I just grabbed his hand and I prayed for him. Now what I should have done probably was build up his faith a moment and said, you know, I used to have an allergy. Because I said it afterwards instead of in front. I should have said, you know, do you want to keep that allergy? Do you like that allergy? Because the answer to that is obviously going to be no. Now I've got his agreement that we're working somewhere. When he says, no, I don't want to keep that allergy, now we're going to say, well, you know, I used to have an allergy and I don't have that allergy anymore. Would you like to know how I did it? And if he says yes, then I can say, well, I prayed and let's pray. Because see, that's just a matter of learning how to perfect what God is giving us. He gave us the instruction to go and pray. Now it's just a matter of adding wisdom to that prayer. Timidity is not faith. That's obvious. But see, what I've found in this weekend listening is that I've allowed certain places of timidity, I've allowed certain places of complacency that aren't faith. Because it was easier to not confront myself in that area. It was easier to not push myself to hear more exactly what the Lord was saying. Because see, what I began to discover is that as I pushed myself, I could actually do more than I thought. I could actually hear more or perceive more than I thought. I didn't do too good on the smell thing, but I could do more different exercises than I anticipated because I haven't made a habit of pushing myself through those things. But it's just a matter of becoming in concert with the movement of the Holy Ghost, recognizing that even the simple things that we hear, the simple things we perceive, can all be a clue to what God wants to do. And then just following those clues. When I'm in the sozo room, that's what I do. I don't tell them what the outcome of the meeting is. I have an absolute faith that their life is going to be changed. I have an absolute faith there's something going to happen. But I don't even care what it is. I just follow where the Holy Ghost leads. And the same thing happens when you're looking to create and move with the move of God. It's a matter of learning how to negotiate the various gates as you come to them. But the timidity is something you have to realize. Fear is overcome by the anointing. When you step into the anointing, so the very first thing you want to do, step out of self and into the presence of God. Step into the Spirit. You don't have to stand up to do it, but I want you to just practice in your mind. Step out of your natural person right now and into the Spirit of God as you understand it. As we step out of self and into the Spirit of God, there's an awakening, a stirring that happens within us. We begin to go vertical with it. Begin to ascend. Because as you begin to ascend, as you begin to be aware of His presence, suddenly there's a shift that can happen even within your own atmosphere, but also within the atmosphere around you. That's where we start, is doing that shift. And the other thing is that you have to recognize that there's going to be three primary elements to the flow of the Spirit, whether it's somebody you're meeting on the street or whether you're conducting a meeting somewhere else. And that's faith, the anointing, and then the gifting. I always perceived that most of these things that I've ever seen done were done out of the gifting realm. But that's not always the case, because you can operate just in the place of faith. And you can operate under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the anointing is in cooperation. And when you get those two in combination, now you got something that releases a greater amount of faith. I always thought it was something that you kind of had to muster up and get it all through yourself, but that's not true, because see, you can begin to look at the timing and feel the timing of the Lord for an event by understanding where the flow of the Spirit is. Most of us are more sensitive to the flow of the Spirit than we realize. We just don't practice it. When Brent was been up here this weekend, I know that I've been subconsciously tapping. Like when we were standing there, I was tapping on Kim's hand when I would feel the flow. Just so that I had a physical recognition in my own body of when that movement was. And then I would notice whether something happened or should have happened that didn't happen. So let's take a risk. Let's not just make it safely to death. Whenever you're encountering someone and you believe the Lord wants to say something to them, you don't have to make it difficult. It can start with this one simple thing. I just want you to know God loves you. Now, has truth been delivered? Has something that can change his day been delivered? Absolutely. If I don't do anything else, it doesn't require anything of me other than being aware that this guy may need a whole lot of Jesus loves him. The compassion that's within you, coupled with the wisdom of God, releases a force that can change his life. Maybe this is the day of his salvation. Maybe you just coming up and saying, Jesus loves you, is the thing that gives him, tell me about this Jesus. Now you've got an open door. We celebrate the risk. In the nature of celebrating risk, I want to do this thing. It's called an exercise called treasure hunt. Okay, and in treasure hunt, y'all are the treasure. Okay? Y'all are the treasure. But in treasure hunt, when you're going to do treasure hunt, because you're going to do treasure hunt too, the people of the world that you're going to meet over this next week are the treasure. All right? So the treasure hunt goes like this. You begin to look and you begin to just be quiet and be still in your mind. You shift into that place. You shift into that place of the Spirit and you be still in your mind and you begin to ask God, Lord, just present some flash thoughts, some quick images. And we're going to give God a whole bunch of time to do this. We're going to give him, I don't know, a minute. That's a lot of time in God time. And you're going to write down the images. We're going to write down specific things that we talked about. For example, I kind of did this exercise just to see because, now, for example, you'll write down physical characteristics of a person. You know, they're tall, they're short, they're thin, they're heavy, they're bald, they're black, they're white, whatever. I didn't do that because I generally know who's going to show up here today, so there's no point to me doing that for this morning. The next thing you're going to do is just begin to describe something that they might be wearing. And the next thing he's going to ask the Lord, show me what's stirring on the inside of them. What has been happening on the inside of them? The next thing is going to be, Lord, give me a physical symptom that they may be dealing with. Then lastly, Lord, what is some little fun fact or just some little off the wall, just whatever you want to say thing? And I'll tell you that I'm way imperfect, but I will read my little things. And if one of these things applies to you, you have something blue, a blue shirt, then a yellow top. Do we have a yellow top? I don't know if I did too well yet. And white top with an edging or something on the collar. Okay. Accident at 12. Something, that, an accident that happened to you when you were 12 years old. I know of myself and others that have had issues at 16, but the Lord said accident at 12. Something that's traumatic that happened either to you or around you that changed things. Melanie, you probably don't want to get up on this one. Is anger at your mom? Unforgiveness for self. Unforgiveness for self. You're going to tell me no one here has unforgiveness for self. Well, you're supposed to be up. If it applied to you, you should be up. If any of the things that we've said applied to you, a deep unworthiness where you feel you have to continually earn. A deep unworthiness. Earning acceptance. All right, the first physical symptoms, a sore ankle or a bruised rib. A bladder problem. The idea is to find those persons whom more than one thing applies to. In other words, the idea is that as you're doing this, you'll find that people are describing, they find themselves in what you're looking for. And the idea is you go to Starbucks, if the Lord says, because the other thing you add is a place. And you go to Starbucks and you look and wait till the guy with the white and plaid shirt walks in, and then you say, sir, I have a list of things, and I'm on a treasure hunt, and maybe you're my treasure. Do any of these things sound familiar to you? And then you see which things he responds to. And then when he responds, and he says, yes, I'm the guy with the bladder problem and the sore ankle and the plaid shirt, now you know what you're ministering to. And you begin to just take a risk and ask God, okay, Lord, lead me to minister to this man, and ask him for healing. But see, the word of faith has already been released to you because it was released in the moment you created your list. Digestive problem. And see, part of this is I was trying not to describe things that I knew existed already. Shortness of breath, digestive problem. Yeah, unfortunately, I do know about that one, but that still is going to count. Shortness of breath. The person's farsighted. And a heart condition. That's a recent thing. A recent change, diagnosis. It wasn't like diagnosis exactly. He just said a recent update, I guess, recent information. Then somebody who, something happened when you were 35, something that changed, it was a life-changing kind of event. I'm one of those. I don't know who else there might be. All right, some fun things. Does a toy carousel matter to you? Did anybody ever have a toy carousel? I just saw like a little carousel, but it looked like more like a toy than a real carousel. Or a fire engine, a red fire engine hat. Maybe if somebody had a red fire engine hat, or if you've ever owned a Camaro. That's Barbara. But I couldn't have predicted that Barbara would be here because she hasn't been here for quite a while. Did you love baseball? Which is also me. And that's Tommy. And then you have candles almost to the point of it being like a hobby. So you see how this can begin to work. When you're sitting there and you just look and you're just waiting for an opportunity, you allow the Lord to just look around and use what's available to you. Now, how many of you have two or more things that applied to you out of that list? Does anybody have three? Three things out of that list. Three things out of that list. Anybody have more than three things out of that list? Okay. All right. We can sit down. Tommy, you want to come up? Which three things applied to you? I know somebody else that applied to, but they didn't stand up, I don't think. And the baseball. Okay. And the one with the brown shirt was supposed to be, but this is actually black. So when I saw it this morning, it was brown. I was like, perfect. I was excited. Okay. All right. So we got at least three. Again, this is simple. You see how the word of knowledge can be just that simple. Anybody can come up and just make a quick list. Okay. It doesn't have to be some complex thing. But God can begin to use those things. And yet we got three things. And why don't you come right about right here? Okay, why did I position him there? It's the hot spot. Because earlier as I walked through the sanctuary, I was looking and sensing within myself, where did I feel the anointing be at? And so I want to position him where I feel the anointing at. Because the anointing is some of those things that just stirs. And so you don't want to be hyper-spiritual or whatever. But you want to be aware and be sensitive within you where something is moving. So if there's an opportunity to do that in a service, you have the opportunity. If you're standing at Starbucks or Walmart, you don't have that opportunity. But take advantage of it if it's there. And there's a real point and purpose to what I'm doing. Because, see, I'm hearing what Brent is saying. I'm seeing what he's saying. But if we don't put it into practice, it's not going to change me. I need to put it into practice. You guys are my guinea pigs. So we got lots to learn yet. But we got three things that I had no idea of in you, other than I could have guessed the baseball if I'd have known for sure you were going to be here. So, Father, I just release within him, Father, the understanding of how you see him. Because, Father, there's certain things, Lord, that have created within him digestive issue, Father, because it's connected to the unworthiness. And, Father, I thank you that no longer will he see this deep-seated unworthiness, Father, where he has to earn the acceptance of God, because, Lord, he'll be able to stand in the knowledge of what you have done in him and through him. Father, he's going to stand in the knowledge of how you see him and how you love him, despite any other thing he may perceive, Father, that he knows that he knows that you love him. So, Lord, today I ask you, Father, to deposit your love within him, and, Lord, I ask you in that love, Father, to bring healing to his digestive system, to bring ease to every part of his digestive system, Father God. And I thank you, Father, for a complete and perfect flow. And Lord, we just release it even now in Jesus' name. And see, it can be just that simple. All I did was took the things that he identified as being him. I didn't have to confront some situation. I'm on a treasure hunt, Betty Jean. You're my treasure. You're my treasure. Come here, Pastor. What things did you identify? All right. I didn't know about that. So, Father God, I know that ribs can be a really painful issue. And Lord, we don't need the pain for my brother. So, Lord, I'm asking you, heal it now. Father, I thank you for the investment this man has made in your kingdom. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to download, Father, the harvest of that investment, Father, in his heart and in his life, Father. May his life, Father, be a continuous testimony of your goodness and your grace, Father. A manifested testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. The other thing is, when you're doing this, you don't have to step out of your character, but you do need to be bold. You don't have to step out of who you are, but you need to be concise to the point and focused about your faith in that moment. If you sense doubt in the other person or anything and you start responding to that doubt, then the game, you're lost at that moment. What you need to do is stay very focused on the faith that God put in you, because you heard a word and you're releasing something. Same as when he gives you an instruction, he gives you the ability to walk it through. He gives you the empowerment to go with that word, because see, that word comes with it a grace. And the grace will be released when you release the word. The grace to do it and the grace to release it. Now I need to ask him about his pain. Is it gone? My guy! Amen. Tommy's wasn't something we could check right then. Sorry, buddy. But you can let me know. Please let me know. I once prayed with this lady. She was in my office, right? She was going to the doctor and she had, what is it? It's an autoimmune disease, lupus. She went to the doctor that day and the doctor accused her of being someone else, because the chart in her didn't match anymore. Now, the problem is, she didn't tell me for 2 years. She quit going to the doctor. She never said anything to me. And then finally, like 2 years later, she's working for me. She's there every week. And she didn't tell me until 2 years later. I was like, hello? I would have liked to know that. Because, see, one of the things that we can do is to begin to build up in our own understanding, just like David did with the lion and the bear. Because, see, when God is doing something and dressing something through you, then it gives you confidence for the next thing you're about to face. It's not about you. It's about stepping into the place of faith in that moment is to release. So, everybody get your pencil out. We're assigning homework. Here's your homework. I'm going to give you about 60 seconds for each category. I want you to just write the first thing that comes to mind, whatever it is, and do your treasure hunt this week. Find out, it may be in the next service, where your treasure is. Because if you'll do this, you'll begin to release and you'll begin to reinforce what God has been doing in you this weekend. So the very first thing is a physical characteristic. For example, he may be tall, thin, bald, whatever. Next thing, describe something that they might be wearing. I'll give you a little more time on this next one. Describe something that might have be shaping who they are. In other words, an event, a thought, a belief. On this one, we're writing down the things for the treasure hunt, but it's like a thought. For example, like the accident at 12 years old. In other words, something that may have happened to them that has shaped who they are. No. This is the treasure hunt is going to be for your assignment for the week. Just as you go during the week. And it may be right now in this service, it may be next service, it may be Friday when you go to the dry cleaner. Remember we talked like with the anger at your mom. And there was at least 3 people in here who did not want to stand up for that one. Yeah, those are my other people who didn't stand up. You got divorced when you were 35? There you go. There's another one. That was a good. Okay. All right. That's a life-changing event. Good. Then a physical characteristic or impairment, that something that may be bothering them. You know, the bruised ankle, a knee that doesn't work right, loss of their hearing. Let's go for some hard ones. You know, blind in both eyes. Okay, I won't put those things out there for you. But tell me, would the testimony be worth it if you got it? And finally, just some kind of oddball fun fact, just something just totally random, like the toy carousel. I mean, that's just totally random. I don't know if that applied to anybody or not, but that was one of the flash thoughts that I got, so I wrote it down. I don't know what a toy carousel would do to anybody, but the reality is there have been lesser things that the Lord has used to show me. I mean, I had a guy come to me one time. He said, I want you to tell me what's going on in my life, but I'm not going to tell you anything. You know what the Lord gave me? Breakfast cereal. I saw a picture of breakfast cereal. And I'm going, great. I'm going to tell this guy about his life from a picture of breakfast cereal. But what he began to show and began to say is, I'm inviting you to a place of intimacy in the morning, a place of sharing and a place of fulfillment and in preparation for the day. And then he went on to say some other things about the writing ability he was giving him and working in him. And it turned out that was exactly what this guy wanted to be doing. So that was, like I would term, just a fun fact. It's just one of those totally random things, a very random thing that turned out to be significant in this person's case. And the other thing is, like the Camaro was, that got another one of our people. You know, just a fun thing. You owned a Camaro. When you start telling somebody these things about themselves, now all of a sudden you've got their attention. And when they understand that you're on a treasure hunt and what you're doing is looking for treasure and that they're the treasure, people want to respond to that because that's building their own significance. And that's what God wants to do, is build significance. Then lastly, ask him for a place, a location. So that you'll know when I'm at the dry cleaners, I need to be on alert because that person is going to be in the dry cleaner. One of the people that this is describing. And so when the bald guy comes in, the tall, thin, bald guy comes in, dry cleaner, you go, clue number one, I'm at the dry cleaner, the tall, thin, bald guy is at the dry cleaner. So, sir, does any of the rest of these things fit you? It's amazing what people will do. Jeremy demonstrated that for me last week. He'll just go up randomly to talk to anybody. And, you know, it's amazing what people will do, because he was trying to remember the name of some movie that he was trying to tell me about, which I'd never seen. Anger Management. And so he would go up to these totally random people at the gas station and ask him, hey, you know that movie that has, what, Will Ferrell or somebody? He gave two or three names and he said, it's about this, you know, it's about anger management. What's the title of that movie? Finally, somebody said, Anger Management. But he just totally randomly, and you know what? Only out of few people that he went up to, only one person was kind of very, you know, standoffish about their responding. Most people were like, oh yeah, you know, I can't remember, but you know, I do remember that movie. I saw that movie and there was this and this and this in there and we did this and they did this. I'd never seen the movie, so it didn't matter to me, but my point was, people aren't nearly is objectionable to you approaching them when you approach them in love and a little bit of humor. All right? Right. Parking lot's a place? Yeah. Yeah, you could. You could. There obviously can be overlap and all that stuff. All right? Well, we need to wrap this up, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to just encourage you to just celebrate risk this week. Because as you celebrate risk, God can move in your life. As he moves in your life, there's going to be a whole opportunity for a move of God.